Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson once said that the clash of ideas is the sound of freedom. And in that spirit, we seriously wrestle with important ideas and might even disagree with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. And a reminder that the views expressed by the participants in this show are the views of the participants only and not the organizations that they might represent. This week, our guests are John Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, back again this week. Also, Tony Fish, who is the spiritual leader at Unity Church. And joining us for the first time, John Morehouse, senior minister at Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Frederick. There, I said it, and I didn't even stumble that bad. That is a mouthful. And what we're going to be talking about this morning on the show is the idea of justice and what role the church and religious organizations should be playing in that. And we might even look at it from a global standpoint, from a geopolitical nationalism kind of approach. To kind of frame this a little bit, in the old days, you know, in the Old Testament days, there's lots of talk about an eye for an eye, and a lot of people have this idea of an angry God and all of those sorts of things. And then in the New Testament, there seems to be this change that takes place, this turn the other cheek and let bygones be bygones. And what is the proper response? What is the role that the church and the spiritual community leaders should be playing? What does the Bible say about it? What do the people who are gathered here today say about it? And we'll start with John, and I'm going to let you, I know it's kind of an open-ended thing, but I'm going to throw you an open, this is the only time.
Okay.
For the record.
Okay. You're going to put me on a time frame, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I'm going to give you an open-ended question, but, you know, and you can talk as long as you like until I tell you to stop. So, what do you think the role is that you as a pastor for a Christian congregation, what is your role to play with ideas of justice as they play out in the community around us? And then broadening it out, what is the role that our nation should play in the world? And then what is maybe a broadening out even more, what are the eternal big picture cosmic implications of justice? Those are three things, and when you're done, you're going to be done talking for the rest
of
the day.
Right, right. I probably won't be able to answer all those one time, but I would say, starting out, that I think that that the issue of justice at the most basic level, the role that a pastor plays from what I consider to be a biblical perspective is a prophetic role of calling attention to areas in society or government where there is a lack of justice, and that his role is to, despite the consequences and despite how people might disagree or ostracize him, that his responsibility, and for that matter, I would say the responsibility of all those that are in the church, is to be bold, to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves, and to be quick to call the powerful on their tendency to arrogance and to selfishness in the use of their power, which inevitably results in those that don't have power not being treated with righteousness, with justice, where they don't get their fair share. And I think that's probably going to be some of the places where we'll tend to disagree today. But I don't want to speak for these guys, but I think where we're going to tend to disagree is what is a fair share and what is not a fair share. And what should people expect? What do people have a right to versus what do people have the responsibility to give? And that's a very deep statement, but I'm going to end on that, I think, just in terms of opening things up.
Okay. John Morehouse?
Well, justice is a huge issue. I'm thinking about all the different kinds of justice that are out there. There's economic justice, which I think perhaps is what John was referring to in terms of a biblical basis and the prophetic basis. There is a lot to be said for that. There's from the Hebrew Bible, what I call the Old Testament, mm-hmm. in deference to my Jewish friends.
Yeah.
From the Hebrew Bible, there's lots of instances in which the prophetic voices call out from the wilderness to not only amend evil ways, but to try to take care of the downfall and the downtrodden. The devil, so to speak, is in the application. And in American society today, there's very little distributed, what we call distributive justice. There's very little justice that's being distributed across the board. We used to try to do it with the tax code, but that's sort of fallen apart. We have something of a social safety net, but I have to tell you that from my perspective, that safety net has got huge holes in it, and they're getting bigger every day. And I think the church has a huge role to play. Any church, whether it's Christian, Orthodox, or otherwise, has a huge role to play in doing something about bringing attention to the plight of those who have less. And that can mean political standpoints. And I think churches generally tend to stay away from politics because, for a lot of reasons, some people, they don't want to talk about religion. You certainly don't want to talk about politics. But they also seem to want to say, well, the IRS says I can't talk about politics in church. Well, that's not true. What it says is you can't endorse a candidate from church.
Right.
But you can and you should, in my opinion. It's the role of a congregation, any congregation, to speak out when its government is failing, and as I think our government is, quite frankly. I think our government is failing miserably at taking care of the poor, and it's getting a lot worse. And there is a difference between taking care of the poor and taking away the right of someone to earn as much money as they think they need to earn. Now, even having said that, I think we need to look at the situation with the very, very rich. I mean, how much money do you need to live on? Michael Eisner from Disney makes, something like, $12 million a week or something like that. What do you need $12 million a week to live for? And should we be considering the possibility of changing our tax code to distribute that wealth? I happen to think we should. Now, is that the church's role? I think the church's role is to stand up and speak out against the kinds of abuses that I think are beginning to happen, particularly at our government's level. And I think the church needs to be a lot more active in that regard and not be afraid. And they have been afraid, in my opinion.
Tony?
I don't – it's interesting. I would have said many of the same things, John, that you've said. And I also have to look back at the source. We can tell the government to fix things. We can point out, and I think the role of the church is to step out and point out where we see injustice, where we see holes, where we see things that are not equitable or fair. And we also have to work within ourselves to say, what is it that we honor in addition to the government's role? Who do I respect? Do I respect the teachers and then give them their fair share? I have a sister who's a teacher. She's been teaching 25 years. She makes $30,000 a year. I wouldn't put up with what she puts up with. And teachers, you have my ongoing respect and love for you do things. We don't respect teachers monetarily. We do pay athletes obscene amount of money every year. Where is our integrity in this? We spend billions to develop bioterrorist weapons, Star Wars defenses, and we cut Head Start. We cut food programs. Now, I can recognize that there are problems with our Social Security system. There are issues with some of these systems where people who are not so well-intentioned do, in fact, manipulate them. However, we have the priorities are in the wrong place, as far as I'm concerned, and that's the role of the church, is to point out that, in fact, it was Jesus who said, honor, love your neighbor as yourself. First love God, then love your neighbor and love yourself. Show respect for the individual. I think it was also Jesus that said, give to anybody that asks you and don't expect them to pay you in return, pay you back. It's not about the money. It's about respect for the individual. It's about respect for human life. It's about respect for the integrity of the person who's trying. Let's teach people to fish, and you can't teach them to fish while they're starving to death. You have to help them not be starving anymore, okay? Bring them to a level where they are above subsistence. Then they can learn to fish. We typically don't do either well. and yet we are more than willing to spend billions in frivolous and dangerous enterprises. And for me, the church is responsible. The group, the community that follows is responsible for standing up and saying, this is not my belief. This is not what I paid you guys. I voted you to do. And here are the reasons why, and here's what I'm willing to do to help you get there. Part of what the church has not done, I think, and part of, I have to believe that maybe some of his faith-based initiative, the intention was good. It is our responsibility to take care of our communities. And if some of the money that's flowing into some of these other operations could come to a legitimate faith-based group to do work, I'm not saying I wouldn't support that. I'd love to open a soup kitchen. I don't know if that's the most effective way. However, I don't know that it ever got serious attention. And I'm not sure that we're that. But what the problem is so large that individual groups need a larger support base in order to make it happen.
Let me ask this.
I just run on.
There's a core issue at the center of all this. I think we're talking about a lot of social ills and evils in the world, and I think anybody who's listening would agree that the poor should be helped, the hungry should be fed. There should be, a fairness about way things are done. But I'm wondering, is it something we want the government to be doing? Or because there's two different things that kind of get melded in the three answers that I heard. There's kind of this talk about the idea of the government has a responsibility and the church has a responsibility. Where does the ultimate responsibility lie? Do we want the government to be putting a Band-Aid over the problem, or do we want to address the true core issue, which is, in my opinion, we live in a fallen world with people who are prone to do the wrong thing. And if the church were to address that core issue, it wouldn't matter if the Michael Eisners of the world made $12 million a week, because if he were impacted properly by the church, he would be giving that money away voluntarily and the government wouldn't have to take it away from him. So I don't know if that's a question so much as a statement, but do you have a response to that line of thinking?
I do. This question of distributive justice is, from a Christian viewpoint, there's immediate perspective. I'm trying to distinguish myself from a evangelical, conservative Christian perspective. There's an immediate tendency to believe that none of us deserves anything, and that before God, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result, there's a tendency, I think, among those that are conservative in their perspective of Scripture to think that government should be very strong in stopping what is wrong, but should be super hands-off enforcing what is right. The New Testament perspective on this, or idea behind this, would be grace versus works. And the idea says that if I force somebody to do something, then I have lost just about all of the moral training that could happen in their heart if I win their heart and win their commitment to give to the poor and to help the poor out just out of the goodness of the heart. And that as soon as I take money from them by taxation, and I force it out of them, then what I do is I lose the opportunity to win them at the heart level, so that they go through their everyday life with a feeling of connectedness, like, wow, this is something that I want to do. I see that poor person on the street, I want to help that person out. As opposed to thinking, there's another poor person, great, my taxes are going to help that person out. That there's a danger in forcing people to do something that ends up actually leading to a corruption in our sense of caring for one another, in our ability to be a caring society. That would say government should be responsible to stop the killing, to stop the stealing, to require those that have contracts with one another to follow through on what they signed their name to in the contracts, business law, that sort of thing. But that when it comes to feeding the poor, when it comes to taking care of unwed mothers and those that are impoverished, that the government, as soon as it steps in, it creates a legal environment that is anti-motivational. And that ultimately leads to people feeling like they have to do things instead of people feeling like, you know what, out of the goodness of, you know, Christ is this way with us, I believe. He doesn't force us to come to him. He invites us to come to him. And Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I think the implication is that God really doesn't like somebody that doesn't give cheerfully, but gives only because they feel like they have to. And the reason God doesn't like that is because he doesn't want to force us to do things. He wants to win us over. It's a free will mentality that I feel like if the government is responsible to distribute wealth, then we lose that potential to win the hearts of people.
Well, let me tell you something here. That's all well and good, Jonathan, and I certainly appreciate your perspective, and I value your faith. I think that's very important. But 300 million Americans, not all of them are Christians in the sense that you are, and not all of them have this strong moral desire to help their neighbor as they would be helped. The reality of our world, the reality of our country, is that there are people who are hungry, who are being abused and being hurt, and no amount of one particular religious message is going to turn around the social ills of this country. What's required is the action of the citizenry, which is embodied in its government, to make sure that the people within this country are taken care of. And it is unfair, and it's quite frankly smacks of a certain moral dimension that most Americans, quite frankly, are not prepared to hear, much less to take on. Now, that's not to say that 100 years from now that might not change, but the world that I see and I work in with people who, a lot of who are unchurched, are not that they're waiting for Christ's message to save them and to make them great and cheerful givers. They're people who are just trying to struggle to get by from day to day. And I don't see any other solution in the short term until such a time as I suspect you would wish that the world would become, a kingdom on earth. But whose kingdom would be one of my questions, because not everybody shares the same faith, and we need to respect that. But in the meantime, we have people who need help, and I don't know any other organization that's got the kind of money. One other point I want to make here, and that is, you know, you can say, government, get out, governments, keep your hands off, I'll make the decision about who I'm going to help. And that would be fine if government weren't doing some other things at the other end of the spectrum that were just obscene. And some of the money that we're spending for some of these military systems, mm-hmm. The overages and the abuses of the system that are going on, and the money that's lying in the pockets of industrialists, those kinds of things cannot simply be excused and say, take them out of the equation. They're part of the equation. They're the vast majority of our tax dollars. What we're spending on social services is nickels. And to say, there goes another person, you know, living off my taxes, is short-sighted, and I think it's a co-option by the powers that be, quite frankly.
Before I give Tony a chance to jump in, I want to reset the stage a little bit for anybody who's joined us in the last few minutes. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. The voice you heard most recently was that of John Morehouse, the senior minister at Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Frederick. Toni Fish is also here with us on the show today. She is the spiritual leader for the Unity Church in Frederick. And Jonathan Schweitzer, the pastor at Crossroad Valley Chapel, is here. And we're talking about issues of fairness and justice in the world and the role that the church and the spiritual community should be playing. And by the way, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show. Our show is sponsored by AllShred, Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow, 1-877-2-SHRED. Tony.
And how do I follow up the AllShred? And I'm sure they are a great product, yeah, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate them sponsoring this because it is an excellent dialogue. I find this fascinating for me because I have in the past been the person who would almost immediately go to John's argument as well, in terms of, I mean, to John Morehouse's argument. We had two Johns here, in terms of the government, because I do believe that there is that the scope of our problem, of our challenge, is huge, and that it is multi cultural, and it is there are so many facets to it that any one individual group may not be able to solve it. And then I find myself tonight, though, saying, you know what? I'm not even sure that the government by itself is going to be able to fix it. This is a there's a deeper core issue here, and that has to do with how do we view ourselves as a community, local, church, local, and national. Are we a people who come from a compassion for humanity? The word that Jesus used to describe God was God is, and it's been translated as merciful, as pure. It can also be translated as compassionate. Compassion is, and that is a universal truth. It's not just found in Christianity. It's found in Islam. It's found in Judaism. It's found in Buddhism. It's found in Hinduism. It's found across the board. Compassion for the individual who's next to you. When we look at the workings of our government, who right now, I don't find a lot of compassion. I don't find a lot of compassion in the messages that come out about how do we deal with people who are starving? How do we deal with people who have abuse, who are excluded? And John, I find it interesting, we talk about God and Jesus not wanting to force us. He asks us to come. Actually, he didn't ask us to come. He went to them. Jesus went to. He sat down with. He ate with. He lived among. He walked among those who were considered outcast in his time. That's what sinner meant in the time of Jesus, was an outcast. He didn't ask them to come to him. He walked to them and among them. And so I would hope that we can find the largeness to solve these large problems of ours. My concern is that until we can shift the focus to a compassion, it may, I've never said this publicly before, our form of government may be broken. The form itself may be broken. Because of the corruption, because of the lack of an emphasis, a lack of understanding of what God is and the role that it played in the founding fathers' lives, which is not many times not what we think it was. Most of them were not Christian. They were deists. They saw a power greater than us. They saw that as part of the base of our country. Our form may be broken by misuse. It may be broken, and it may take something more drastic than we can imagine right now to fix it. And that's scary.
Yeah.
It really does give
I'd
me
like
a
to respond to that.
Yeah, it's scary.
Well,
okay.
John is itching to respond. By the way, we never have enough time.
Yeah, it's good.
We have time for a round robin of final thoughts on this. John,
can we go the next show on this? I feel like there's enough material here that we could keep going.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah.
So for now, to put a bow tie on what we're talking about right now, you have 40 seconds, and we'll give everybody 40 seconds to kind of have a parting shot. Go.
Great. Couple things. From a biblical perspective, we humans are very limited in what we can accomplish. That is from a conservative Christian biblical perspective. And as a result, we will tend to think that eradicating poverty is something that we actually can't do. Christ even put it this way, that the poor you will always have among you. And part of the reason for that, from a
conservative Christian perspective is because sin always has in our lives a destructive effect. So that if I'm a liar, I'm going to have fewer and fewer people that want to do business with me. And if I'm an adulterer, I'm going to tend to not have very many women that want to trust me in a long-term relationship. And if I'm at all abusive or unkind, again, I'm going to tend to push people away. And the result of those things is poverty. And so from a Christian perspective, you know, and I think oftentimes we're accused of being not conservative when we say this, but from a Christian perspective, God alone is able to bring the change. And so we throw ourselves on his mercy and we don't attempt to do it all ourselves. We feel like it's overly idealistic and even a bit arrogant for us to assume that we can do that without him accomplishing it.
John Morehouse, a final thought?
I would respectfully disagree with Jonathan. I think that perhaps our powers are more limited than we might believe they are. I do believe we need to try as best we can. In our tradition, we have a belief that we human beings, the human race, are the hands of God, that we are the actors for the God power that is in the world, and that we need to express that compassion as in any way we can, and never give up with that. That would be a defeatism that I would not want. And that having all I said about the government, I think that I should also say that while I think we do need to work prophetically to change the way our government is doing business and taking care of its own people, we will always be most effective locally. And the real work of a church actually is not necessarily in the prophetic voice, but in the actual voice of doing good work. And that's the good work that needs to be done.
Well, the bad news is we're going to cheat Tony out of a final parting word. We've run out of time. But the good news is we're going to pick up kind of where we're leaving off. So if you tune in next week, we'll give Tony the opening shot.
All right.
And we'll go from there. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. It's sponsored by All Shred Mobile Document Destruction. Same three will be back next week, so tune in for that. And if you would like to be a part of the show, or you have a topic you want us to talk about or whatever, please email me at troyskinner@clearchannel.com. Thanks again, and God bless.